This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Welcome back to another episode of PT Talker. I'm Jeff Worrell, and on our show today, I am talking to Dr. Matthew Taylor, physical therapist in Scottsdale, Arizona, actually 30 years in the field. Dr. Taylor, welcome to PT Talker.
Thank you, Jeff. Great to be here.
I understand now your clinic in Scottsdale is called Dynamic Systems Rehabilitation. And before we get into the meat of our topic, which we're going to be talking about some interesting things, so please stay tuned, but you have kind of a different take on how you treat patients when they come into your clinic. Just give us a quick idea as to a little bit about your clinic.
Well, our clinic is different, and by the name Dynamic Systems, we look at all the systems that affect the person's ability to move, either move as an ability or move without pain. And so when you walk into the clinic, it's hardwood floors, indirect lighting, and there's no PT equipment. So we essentially do empty room therapy. The idea being that we set it up that it's the therapist and the patient, and together we explore the complexities of what affects their movement, so we don't have the distractions of a lot of stuff or a lot of busyness. And so and it ends up being a very deep, positive relationship with the person, because we've only got each other to look at, so pretty quickly you get right to the issues that are affecting that, whether it's the illness itself, family situations, work situations, those types of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, that's going to lead us right into our topic, and one of the things that I guess that caught my attention, and let me just also mention that you are a presenter at the APTA National Conference. Why don't you just quickly tell our listeners real quickly about your presentation last year and then what you're going to be presenting this year.
Sure. Last year we presented a three-day continuing education series in Baltimore at the APTA Annual on complementary and alternative medicine and physical therapy, and that was well-received. We filled the room, and therapists are hungry for what you might say is the art side of the science and art of movement, as we use in our tagline. And so that was well received. And then this year we're set up in Boston to do a two-day pre-conference course on mindfulness and rehabilitation, the principle of being mindful, being present as a way to facilitate better outcomes, but also to take care of the health of the therapist, because certainly burnout and fatigue is getting to be an issue as productivity issues push forward.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. Well, very good. So let's get into our topic today, which is I wanted to talk about some of your writings that you've put out there on your blog site and, you know, just out there on the internet, where you're raising some some different thoughts or controversial thoughts or issues about how physical therapists should be viewed in the area of wellness and fitness and rehabilitation. Can you tell us a little bit about what your position is?
Well, I guess that's the value of having fewer and more gray hairs. that back in the 80s, I was a physical therapist for the Army, where we were physician care extenders. That is, we did diagnostic work for the orthopedic department, and those were exciting times because we were diagnosing patellofemoral pain and IT band tendonitis and stress fractures and that. So, I mean, that's 30 years ago, and that was kind of the peak of physical therapy practice at that time. And so I lived through the corporate fitness. I had my own health club for over 12 years in the Midwest in a small town, and I know how there's a scramble now in the PT world to, you know, that we ought to have be busy in the fitness world and be leading that up as far as continuing on with post-prescription rehab. I guess I would argue that, one, I hope we've gone past the point of the top of our skills being a relatively simple movement diagnosis to making use of the full doctoral level of our education, where we actually are the leaders in showing how do you get people that aren't moving to move, how do you create environments like that, or people who have significant disability, how do you make it possible for them to maintain fitness in a, something other than a, an adapted fitness environment, which was what we did back in the mid-90s. So my concern is we're asking these kids that are in school to put out over $100,000 to get this doctoral-level education, and then if they come out and they're teaching open and closed chain lower extremity exercises for patellofemoral pain, that's exciting for about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's like, oh, man, hand this off to somebody else.
And when you say hand it off to someone else, I mean, you would kind of relate that to more of what a technician should be doing. Do I have that right?
Right, or a peer fitness person, you know, a personal trainer, exercise physiologist, someone like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay.
And my question or point is, with all of our education and what we now know from movement science about the complexity of movement, it would be why we should be helping figure out why the person won't get off their duff to move in the first place, or what they're doing at work that creates the tight IT band. You know, if they're sitting there at a computer screen with their leg rotated out and gripping because they hate their job and they're just trying to slog through another stupid report they have to generate, we can do all the IT band stretching we want to, but if we don't help that person identify what's generating their movement issue, we're really just kind of doing Band-Aid treatment, and we're back to being relatively at a technician level. So I argue that we should be the doctors that the fitness industry sends their people to help that individual identify all those different systems effects versus, you know, every athletic trainer and an exercise physiologist can determine whether their hamstrings are tight or if they have a tight hip flexor. That's right out there. But who's got the skills to know, you know, what's affecting the person's motivation, what are the fears, those kind of things, which we can track right now with PET scans, and that is having a real effect on balance and ability to move and those types of things.
So that's
a real doctoral level, I think, of looking at it.
Now, do you believe that the current physical therapy programs are teaching students to look for the causes instead of just treating the symptoms?
I'm afraid my experience, and it's fairly broad because I talk to a lot of people around the country, is that we're still generating what I affectionately call 20th century rehab professionals, in that it's a very biomechanical view of what movement is and how to diagnose it. So there needs to be a shift in the curriculum as well to catch up with the science. And we see this all the time. The science always leads it. You know, we now know the complexities of movement, but when are we going to change both our education but also the effects of professional development for the, you know, the already licensed ones? And that was a good example of that at Combined Sections meeting this year over in San Diego. The Lorimer Mosley from Australia presented his information on the complexity of pain management, and that sold out and had people out in the hall and everything else. So there's an appreciation and a hunger for that information, but it, as always happens, it lags the current science,
Actually,
and so people are looking for a way to that
and putting it into practice. Can you contrast for my listeners what you mean, maybe give us an example, but how you would look at something differently using your philosophies versus the typical physical therapist that's maybe just in that biomechanical world? Can you contrast something for me?
Sure. If, say, I have a 45-year-old female with MS come in, who's having difficulty with gait and walking, you know, all the stuff that we normally would see. In addition to doing an evaluation that included measuring her gait and her function and strength and endurance and tone, we'd also talk about, well, what's it mean to have MS? How does that affect how you deal with the world? Is this something to overcome? Is this a burden? Is it not fair? And then we get into the other systems issues. So we talk about the quality of her sleep, quality of her relationships at home, because if her social network's being pulled out, what does she have to support her to get up and do the exercises she needs to, or what? How if her central nervous system is being exhausted because she doesn't have the endurance to get through the day, so she's always in kind of this hypervigilance, then we know that's going to bias her tone, it's going to bias her energy management, and that, you know, it leads into the systems effect where then she doesn't sleep so well, and then her pelvic floor gets tighter, and then her bladder gets more irritable, and then she's up more often, and then she's got to let me see how it gets into this loop. And very often we just stop at that first bit of, okay, here's some stretches, here's some strengthening.
Let's try and improve this one thing.
Right. Instead of looking at all those different systems that are feeding her ability to adapt and move, and if she's depleted and exhausted on a bunch of levels, then either we need to get her the support she needs or talk about strategies where she can develop the support herself. And I think that's the other thing, is empowering the client, letting them see, oh, you mean the fact that I watch, you know, local news for 45 minutes before I go to bed fires up my nervous system, and then that's why I'm awake 2 hours later because, you know, I never come down to rest. Well, that's got a big effect for somebody with MS. It's got a management, but nobody ever talks about those types of issues or learns if that's the case for the person.
Yeah. We are actually out of time, but I'd like to know if it's possible for you to come back and join us again next week, because I have a bunch of other questions I'd like to ask you about your philosophies and your thoughts on this. Would you be willing to do that?
Oh, sure, Jeff. I appreciate your interest and be glad to do that.
Great. Okay, well, listeners out there, you have been enjoying the thoughts of Dr. Matthew Taylor. He is a physical therapist that owns Dynamic Systems Rehabilitation in Scottsdale, Arizona. And you'll be pleased to know that he's just agreed to come back next week, because I am going to try and focus in on how he views our industry maybe changing or moving more towards his thoughts, and if he has any thoughts regarding how physical therapists need to react to healthcare reform coming up. So I hope that you'll join us again next week when Dr. Matthew Taylor will be our guest. And thank you for listening this week. I want to remind you that you can hear previous episodes of PT Talker on iTunes. And be sure to tell all your friends this is the place to come for business news and ideas just for physical therapists from experts in our field. Jeff Worrell saying so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.